Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A week from today, the Texas House Committee on State and Federal Power and Responsibility will hold a hearing. The topic for the day, Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. The question will be, should Texas join a drive of states to rewrite the Constitution? This is something that Governor Greg Abbott supports, so much so he wrote a book about it. He has a wish list of 9 constitutional amendments that he hopes to be passed and that would radically change American government and our way of life. But should we automatically fear and fret over a constitutional convention of states? Or is this exactly what the framers wanted, what they intended? We're joined by Christopher Phillips, a constitutional scholar and fellow at the Constitution Center, author of Constitution Cafe. We invite you into our conversation. You can give us a call, 210-614-8980. We'll talk about a convention of states. And also, Chris is going to be at the Barnes & Noble on San Pedro here in San Antonio on Thursday, September the 15th at 7 p.m. to discuss his recently released book, The Philosophy of Childing, Unlocking Creativity, Curiosity, and Reason Through the Wisdom of Our Youth. And Chris, that sounds fascinating, but we're going to talk about constitutional conventions.
And I'm happy to do so. Thanks, Dave.
I know you are. You're always one of your favorite topics. So first off, you know, is it fear-mongering? Is it, you know, oh my gosh, they're going to have a constitutional convention, a state convention. Is that really something to set our hairs on fire about?
No. In fact, I think it's exciting. It shows that there's lots of movements for this in red states and blue states. I think a lot of folks, in the miraculous occasions when our Congress actually does pass a law, are upset that the laws that are passed are not in lockstep with their own hopes and aspirations for the kinds of legislation they would like to see. So, you know, that good old 10th Amendment in the Constitution says that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved not just to the states respectively, but also to the people. And a lot of the people are ready to at least look for an end around of Congress when they feel like their will is not being heeded.
So you say red states and blue states are into having this idea, a convention. But blue states tend to be, they want to have outlaw something like Citizens United and get money out of politics. But the red states, they're more interested in finding a balanced budget amendment, seems to be the theme.
Mm-hmm. Right. So for different reasons, they nonetheless all want the same thing, some sort of amendments convention. And that's perfectly within their right to do so. Now, where Governor Abbott, frankly, people on the left have also been trying to reassure people when they do think that the sky is falling. They try to say, well, this can be a limited amendments convention about certain issues like balanced budget or, campaign finance reform. They do need to know, though, that the fact of the matter is that if an amendments convention does come to pass, that it's open season.
It's off to the races. Whatever happens, happens.
It's off to the races.
And that's how we ended up with this Constitution.
Yeah. It was conducted totally behind closed doors with no public record whatsoever, even though it's come to be seen as a sacred, iconic document. And there have only been 27 amendments over our life history as a democracy. But I think that there's a lot of concern about whether we're sort of ossifying, whether our representative constitutional republic really isn't very representative anymore. You know, every member of Congress has a fiefdom of about 700,000 constituents. That's not at all what our framers had in mind. So there is good reason to consider doing something that might at least shake Congress up and get them to be more heedful of the people's will.
So what would it take to get us to a constitution of states, a convention of states?
Okay, so it would take 2/3 of the states would have to call for it. And then 3/4, anything that they would want to have amended, they would still have to have 3/4 of the states approve of it. That has never happened. There is no mechanism exactly provided in our Constitution for how one might go about doing this. But there was a time many moons ago, as, and I write about this in Constitution Cafe, when the Senate, they did come close to mustering the two-thirds majority needed to do an end around the Congress and the Senate. They did this because the people wanted to be able to directly elect their senators, whereas Congress liked the way it was, where the legislatures themselves decided who was going to be the Senate, the two senators in each of their states. It looked like an amendment convention was actually going to come to pass. And once those chambers realized that this could actually happen, they were scared because they realized that, number one, there might be lots of other laws passed that might further dilute their powers. And so they gave in, and they allowed the people to directly vote for senators in their states. So at the very least, the fact that you do have, in many different sectors of our country, these calls for amendment conventions shows that there's a groundswelling for this, for very different reasons, of course, as you said, but that it might actually get Congress to allow amendments once again, to go through them so that the people can actually, and through their state legislatures, can actually once again consider voting for them, things that haven't happened for a really long time.
So right now, 28 states have adopted resolutions calling for a convention on this balanced budget amendment. But mm-hmm. is that how many more do they need?
They need 3/4 in order for it. Well, to just have the amendment go through and to be discussed, it takes 2/3 of the states, so that would be 34. And then for it to be passed, it would take I'm not doing very good math, am I?
They need 34 states to invoke the Article 5 clause to have the convention.
And then for it to be passed, it would take 3/4 for it to actually be enacted.
Which means if you have 13 states that are opposed to it, then you're not going to get it.
Not only that, but now Congress, on the rare occasion when they do allow a potential amendment to be considered, they usually put a time limit on it, a window usually of around 7 years. In times past, there was unlimited time for the states to consider these amendments. There's nothing in the Constitution that says there has to be any time limit imposed whatsoever. So the odds are probably against them. I have to say, though, I think I personally caught into some of the proposals that Governor Abbott sets forth, his idea of having a two-thirds majority of the states to override a Supreme Court decision, maybe a 7-justice supermajority for U.S. Supreme Court decisions that invalidate a law that was enacted by Congress. That's good fodder for discourse, because we need to ask ourselves, do we really want 9 people, a majority, you know, 5 of those to decide whether something that Congress enacted through at least a majority of what they considered the will of the people to come to pass? Those are actually things that the state of Pennsylvania tried to establish when it first had its own state constitution, that there was kind of a way to override the Supreme Court if they felt that their decisions were not in line with
sure.
that.
But didn't you have to ask yourself, like, what would have happened with Brown versus the Board of Education or other controversial rulings by the Supreme Court that enforced, that supported the rights of the individuals and sometimes controversially? And you got to wonder what would have happened in that case. Okay, we're going to continue talking about a constitutional convention of states, and Texas is talking about joining the effort and what that would mean. What would you like to see in a new constitution? Give us a call, or we just want to hang on to the one we got. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We've got a presidential election happening right now, and some people think that possibly that the Democrat in the race will win. It's a possibility, and if that should happen, and if it should be a landslide, it's going to look like demographics are going to be in play for quite some time, locking the other party out of the White House for quite some time, and also taking away the ability to appoint Supreme Court justices. Conservatives have done very well across the United States in state legislatures and in governor's races. They're doing really well with state politics. And so there seems to be a drive, a shift to try to write the Constitution in favor of state power away from the Supreme Court and from the executive power. And this could be the outcome, this could be the drive, this could be the motivation for having a constitutional convention of states. A week from today, Texas will be holding a hearing to discuss whether or not the state should join this effort and adopt a resolution calling for a convention of states, adding things like a balanced budget amendment and other issues that Governor Abbott supports. We're talking about this, what this would mean, how it would work, what concerns we should have, or whether we should just embrace this whole concept, because it is a tough road to hoe. It is a high wall to climb in order to pass one of these things. We're joined by Christopher Phillips, a constitutional scholar and fellow at the Constitution Center, and he's the author of Constitution Cafe. He's going to be in town on Thursday, September 15th at 7 p.m. at the Barnes & Noble on San Pedro to discuss his most recently released book, which is called The Philosophy of Childing. And our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or send us a question via email at thesource@tpr.org. So, Christopher, I mean, my assessment about the way national politics is heading, does that sort of jive with what you see?
It does. I think, though, that a lot of the frustration is at a more foundational level, that a lot of the conversations about whether we should have a balanced budget for amendment, for instance, tend to get almost stillborn after they reach a certain stage, that there's really not a really healthy national dialogue or back and forth. You know, we hear a lot of presidential candidates calling for such things, but there's just a lot of jadedness among people that nothing is really going to get done. And so I think that this could actually generate a very healthy conversation about whether we are satisfied with our existing constitutional strictures or whether we're satisfied that those in the three different branches of government are adhering to them, or if there is a need to create more outlets for bringing about change in our Constitution, if that's a good or bad thing.
So Article 5 says Congress calls the convention. Does that mean that Congress can control the convention and choose the delegates?
Well, that's a good question, because it's never been done. I think that it means that Congress has to call the convention if two-thirds of the state legislatures ask for it, and then basically all bets are off. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to be chaotic. It just means that it's uncharted territory. I'm not sure if we have faith in one another, and that even if we come at this with different motives, that it would create sort of pandemonium. It just might generate a healthy discourse. They may leave the amendment convention with a sense that, wow, our Constitution as it is isn't so bad after all. I'm actually, optimist that I am, wouldn't be surprised if by and large that's what many people think. I know in my Constitution Cafe dialogues I came up away with a much greater appreciation of the existing feat of our framers. But we won't know unless maybe we do go that step, or even get close enough to doing that step, that maybe Congress will suddenly become much more heedful of the states and of the people than they are at present.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. What constitutional changes would you make if you could make them, or are you just really happy with what we got and you don't want to see that monkeyed with? 210-614-8980. Roger is on the line. Hey, Roger, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
Okay.
Listen, I just wanted to make a comment. It seems that the gentleman, your guest, seems to be misleading, because right now the House and the Senate or the House of Representatives and the Senate are controlled by the Republicans, and most of the Republicans have taken over the governorships in most states. If they have the power at the state level, at the Senate level, and at House of Representatives level, not only will the presidentship be faulty in some way, because President Obama, even though they don't want to admit it, it's a race thing, and then it'll also affect the the courts, because all three entities will have so much power that the courts won't have anywhere, even though right now, I mean, we're having a problem with the even getting anybody elected, much less if the state, the Senate, and the House of Representatives have all the power.
Right.
I'll take your answer. Thank you.
All right, Roger. Thank you for the call. And Christopher.
I mean, all I can say is that liberal groups and conservative groups have been kind of teaming up for quite some time to consider an amendments convention. There are concerns across the board of not just a balance of not having a balanced budget, but especially on the way that campaigns are financed. That has been a concern that has transcended party. Even though right now there is a majority of Republicans in state and on national levels, that may not be the case next year or sometime hence. And so it's interesting to me that there is sort of this crossing over and teaming up among people both on the left and on the right, even though, you know, on the left it's more about...
Yeah, but they may agree on the concept of calling for a convention right. And fixing it, but they only do it in their view, what they want out of it. You know, and they want totally opposite types of outcomes.
I'm not sure about that. I have seen concern among both sides about the way campaigns are financed. I've seen concern among both sides that even if a Republican elects a Republican, that the Republican who's elected into office still doesn't heed what the majority of the people elected into office want him to do. So, I guess I'm not so leery. I don't think that moving a step or two forward would be an unhealthy thing, and it might make folks more responsive who are elected into office.
Or we could lose things like birthright citizenship or the freedom of the press or all sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, then there's the argument, are we losing those things or are those being chipped away at already? I don't know.
Okay.
But I think that there's enough concerned people that maybe they want to at least consider broaching this and going a step further.
All right, Chip is on the line. And Chip, hi, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. My concern is this, with the obvious disrespect that the Republican leadership in Texas has shown to the federal government on just about every kind of level, what could we expect in a convention? And secondly, what would be the influence of groups like ALEC on fundamental changes in our democracy? Thank you.
All right,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you for that call, Chip. And ALEC is one of the driving forces behind trying to have this state convention. Mm-hmm. Christopher.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, there are people with real motives and real agendas, you know, conservative think tanks, but liberal movements too, led by people like Lawrence Lessig, who wrote that book, Republic Lost, and who actually threw his hat in the ring to try to be a candidate for president, and he comes at this from the left progressive side. I think that everybody will have a different motive and somewhat slightly different or radically different agenda, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a good or healthy or insincere thing, and that something that results from it might lead to this some very creative compromises, some new outlets for making sure that people's voices are heard. You might not have your way today, but I know that when discussion is bottled up and when it's not allowed to be had, it can make a constitutional republic even more dysfunctional. I think that's what a lot of people are concerned about fundamentally today.
ALEC stands for American Legislative Exchange Council. It's a nonprofit financed by corporate and private donors, including the Koch brothers. And another caller, Mark. And Mark, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. My question, Chris, is this, and that is, with the amount of discourse that's going on both sides and the amount of people that are just fundamentally just disgusted with how this whole process goes, what are you hearing and seeing about term limits for members of Congress? Because I think that's really something that both parties can get behind and move forward to make some really needed fundamental changes, instead of having somebody in there as a career politician that, you know, isn't working in my best interest or yours. They're working for whoever's going to give them the most dollars. And I'll take the answer off the air. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks for calling in. So, Christopher, term limits.
Yes, and again, I think that one of the reasons that people are across the spectrum, frankly, are calling for this is because at the advent of our Constitution, there was no notion whatsoever that there would be such a beast as a professional politician, that people would serve and then go back home and they would, you know, others would take their place. So it's a really legitimate concern. I think that, though, that in San Antonio itself, I take great hope and heart that people can thoughtfully discuss these issues. We have, every Constitution Day, our conversation with the Constitution. We'll be discussing gun control at this one at East Central High School on Constitution Day on September 17th, open to the public. But I think we have to have faith in one another that we can actually discuss these things, because the 10th Amendment isn't just about the states, but it's also about the rights of the people themselves. And a lot of the people are really concerned right now that their voices aren't being heeded and heard at all.
Right, but one important part about having a functioning Constitution, that it's built on trust. You have to make sure that trust is always there. Christopher Phillips,
yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.